Welcome to day number 85. We are up to Perek Vav, Mishnah Yud. These are the Mishnayos for Shabbos. As always, we like to post them in Erev Shabbos so that they're ready to go in your inbox right after Shabbos. So Mishnah Yud is continuing the theme that we've been discussing, and that's that when two people are partners, they co-own certain produce. So the framework that Halacha provides is that everyone owns everything. That's the general. Every grape, every piece of produce is owned by everyone. So when you get your half, it's as if you were buying out the other partner's portion in your half, and vice versa. The partner is buying you out of his half. Now, we're going to see cases, no longer true Mishnah Yud, but we're going to see cases in which that framework doesn't necessarily apply. So says Mishnah Yud, Ger v'goy, sheyarshu es avihem goy. So a convert and a non-Jew who receive inheritance from their non-Jewish father, right? The two are brothers. You have two, they started as two non-Jewish brothers. One of them converts to Judaism. So now you have a Jewish brother and a non-Jewish brother. And then their non-Jewish father dies. And they get the Yerusha, they get the inheritance. So says the Mishnah, Yachal hu lomar. Who is referring to the convert? The convert is able to say to his non-Jewish brother, Tol ata avodah zarah va'ani maos. You take the avodah zarah, and I will take the money. Generally, when it comes to avodah zarah, you're not allowed to get any benefit from it. So it's of no use to the Jew. So if the father left both money and actual objects, and we can assume for now that they have relatively equal worth, so you can say, you take the avodah zarah, and I will take the money. Or, atayayin, vani peros, you take the wine. We know that we're generally not allowed to have wine that is handled by a non-Jew, so you take the wine, he says to a non-Jewish brother, and I will take the peros that have no problem if they were previously owned by a Jew. So what's the issue? What could be at play here? So usually we say, again, if there are partners, they both inherited it together, so we learned previously, then it's considered that they both own everything. So then when you get your portion of it, let's say you get your money, it's ke'ilu, it's as if you are buying the other person out of your portion and they are buying your produce, they're buying you out of your portion of the avodah zarah stuff. Well, if that's true, essentially you owned part of the avodah zarah and you're swapping that for money, right? Because if everyone owns everything, then you own part of the avodah zarah as well and you're swapping that for money. The halacha is you're not allowed to get any benefit from something used in avodah zarah. So you're not allowed to do that. You are not allowed to take something from avodah zarah and then get benefit by swapping it for money. The money then becomes unusable as well. It has the same status as the avodah zarah. So you would think maybe you're not allowed to do that because the process of saying you get this thing and I get this thing would be an exchange, right? You owned part of the avodah zarah. So you would think that wouldn't apply. But our Mishnah says, no, it does. You are allowed to say you take the avodah zarah and I will take the money. Why? Because once the person's a Jew, he doesn't really inherit his father anymore. At least midoraisa, from a Torah's perspective, he doesn't really own the inheritance because it's not really his. He's no longer a part of that non-Jewish family. So as such, he never really owned it. So he's allowed to say, you get the avodah zarah and I'll get the most because he never actually owned any part of the avodah zarah. The inheritance didn't fall to him right away because, again, he's Jewish. The only time it would have come to him is once it comes into his possession. The non-Jewish brother, of course, doesn't care necessarily about that halacha. He's going to split the inheritance as if he was non-Jewish along with him. When it comes into the possession of the Jew, then it becomes the Jew's. But until that moment, the Jew actually doesn't own it, and therefore it's not considered an exchange, so to say, when you say, you take the avodah zarah and I will take the money. But, says the Mishnah, but once it comes into the property of the ger, of the non-Jews, once you take possession of the avodah zarah, usher, then you can no longer exchange it for money because you are not allowed to get any benefit from something used from avodah zarah. And now Mishnah Yud Aleph. Now Yud Aleph totally changes topics. We're no longer talking about partnerships on fields or produce. We're talking about produce that comes from the land of Surya. Surya is land that was conquered and annexed by David HaMelech and made to be part of Eretz Yisrael. It's Aram Tzava, Aram Narayim, parts of modern-day Syria. So the halacha is that part in some ways, Syria is considered chutz la'aretz, totally not like Eretz Yisrael, and in other ways, it's considered halachically like Eretz Yisrael, like Israel itself. One of the ways in which it's considered like Israel is that any produce grown in the land of Syria is you do have to tithe. You do have to separate trumas and maasros. So if someone buys produce that you know came from land in Syria, you would have to separate trumas and maasros. But one of the kulos, one of the leniencies, is that if you buy produce that is being sold in Syria, but you don't know where it came from, you don't know that it came from a land in Syria, you are actually allowed to assume that it didn't come from Syria, that it came from outside Eretz Yisrael entirely. Because most produce in Syria actually came from outside of Eretz Yisrael. So again, if you're just buying produce, if you know it came from the land of Israel, from the land of Syria, you'd have to separate tithes. But if you're buying it in Syria and you don't know where it came from, you're allowed to assume it didn't come from Eretz Yisrael, and you would not have to separate maestros on that demai. So, says our Mishnah, Hamocher Peres Basuria. A person who's selling Peres in Syria. Again, you would not have to separate tithes if he was just selling it in Syria. But the seller says something. Va'amar Mishel Eretz Yisrael Hain. He admits, he says, no, this produce is actually from Israel. Well then, Chayav La'aser. Then you have to separate Maestros, of course, because you know they're from Israel. Mi'usarin Hain. But if he says that, not only are they from Israel, but they are already tithed, Ne'eman. He's actually believed to say that they're already tithed, even though this person would usually not be believed by tithes. He's believed to say that they are tithed. Why? And this is a very, very important concept. This is one of those Shas concepts that comes up throughout Divrei Chazal. It says the Mishnah, Sha'pesha Asar, Hu Hapesha Hitir. The mouth, so to say, that forbade it is also the mouth that permitted it. Meaning to say that if the guy said nothing, he just sold you the produce, you would not have had to tithe it. The only reason you have to tithe it is because the guy told you they're from Israel. Well, if we believe the guy to say that they're from Israel, then we also have to believe him to say that they have already been tithed. Hapesha Asar, Hu Hapesha Hitir. It comes out a lot throughout Shas. Then when a person is directly responsible for creating the Isur, creating the prohibition, the person is generally also believed to remove the prohibition. Now, if the person says, Mishalihain, the guy in Syria, the seller says, they are from my field in Syria, then Chayav La'aser, you have to separate Maestros. Because again, anything grown in Syria, you have to separate Maestros. Mi'usarinhain, but again, if he says, they're from my field and they are tithed, Ne'eman. Same reason, Sha'pesha Asar, Hu Apesha Hitir, he's believed, because again, the only reason you would be Chayav in the first place to separate tithes is because of what he told you, his own admission that they're from his field. So he's also believed to say that they are already tithed. Vim Yadua Sheish Lo Sada Achas Basuria. But if this guy, if the seller doesn't say anything, the seller who's selling produce in Syria says nothing, but you know that this person has a field in Syria, is a landowner in Syria, then Chayav La'aser. Then you have to assume that which he's selling is from Syria, and you'd have to separate Maestros. Okay, that is Perek Yud Aleph. We'll continue Mishnah Yud Aleph. We'll continue with Mishnah Yud Beis tomorrow.